I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll.
We're living in a time where there's so much turmoil and human suffering, and the flailing bureaucratic response to the global pandemic in many countries has caused more suffering and death than the disease itself. The pressure to survive overcomes social norms, and people are lashing out at each other in fear. Protests and riots are the order of the day in many different places around the world. Tensions flare. Civility vanishes. What's a follower of Christ to do in such a situation? How should you and I respond?
Follow the path of Jesus, walk where his footsteps lead. Keep in his beaming presence every counsel heed. Watch while the hours are flying, ready some good to do. Quick while his voice is calling, yield obedience true.
Thank you, men, for that good reminder. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. What a privilege we have to meet together through electronic media. Here's a question for you. Are the effects of the global pandemic all negative, or are there some positive effects too? I know I've heard a lot of complaining about inconvenience and about the loss of civil liberties and unwarranted government mandates. I'm sure you've heard it too. But many people here in North America and around the world have experienced much more than inconvenience. For some of them, the mandated lockdowns became a matter of life and death. And though you might not hear much about it, there were and are some positive things that happened as a result of the pandemic. One of those was people were forced to stay at home, so they tried to find things to fill their time. As a result, radio listenership went up, social media engagement rose, and other forms of electronic media participation went up too. Now, I'm sure that not all of that media consumption was positive, but we do know this. During this time, many more people heard the gospel through those channels. And then there was another positive development, and that was how material aid opened doors to sharing the gospel. Because so many people lost their jobs, food aid became critical. And in many places, it was the local church that stepped up and provided what they could with the resources they had. And people who would never think of attending a church came to receive a food parcel. And because of that, many connections were made in local communities. And as a result, more people are attending church services. And some have come to saving faith in Jesus. Praise God. That happened because his people were holding out the light.
Hold out your light. You handbound soldier, hold out your light. You handbound soldier, hold out your light.
Oh yes.
You handbound soldier, let your light shine around the world.
Hear the children singing,
hold out your light.
Oh yes.
You handbound soldier, hold out your light. You handbound soldier, hold out your light.
Oh yes.
You handbound soldier, let your light shine around the world. Singing, oh preacher, can't you hold out your light? Oh deacon, can't you hold out your light? Oh leader, can't you hold out your light?
Let your light
shine around.
Thank you, Sharon Singers, for that encouragement. You know, in the darkness, just a little bit of light can make a big difference. And when the people of God join together to hold out the light of the gospel, it can make a huge difference in the life of a person or a family, a people group, a country, and the whole world. Let me share with you a recent response from a listener in the country of Nepal. Now, Nepal is a small, landlocked country between India and China. The predominant religion is Hinduism. We broadcast twice each week in this country on 33 different FM radio stations. Our program is called Asha Ko Kiran. Translated into English, that means rays of hope. Here's one response from those Nepali broadcasts. I'm an older woman, and in my family, we are 8 members. Me and my husband came to Christ, but the others are still in the Hindu religion. Actually, we came to Christ through his miracle work in our life. My husband had been suffering from an unknown disease. He had been taken to so many hospitals and treatments, and yet nothing worked. In that time, someone told us to take him to the church, because only Jesus can heal him completely. So I took him to the church. God healed him, and we couldn't help ourselves. We accepted God and Jesus. We are illiterate, so we were told to listen to the radio program to build up our faith in God. We have been continually listening to the Rays of Hope program. Thank you so much for producing and airing the program. My friend, here is a couple, both of them former Hindus, who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They can't read or write, but through your prayers and financial support, we are able to help teach them from the scripture how to follow the path of Jesus. Try to think about what these broadcasts mean to this couple each week as they tune in. And as you do that, breathe a prayer of thanks for those whose prayers and gifts sustain our broadcasts in the country of Nepal. Now stay tuned for my teaching from the scriptures. How many of you find it easier to criticize than to encourage or build up? How many of you find it easier to see the negative in a situation, or an issue, or a person, rather than seeing the positive? I have to confess, I find myself there much too often. And yet, the scriptures command us to encourage, to exhort, to admonish, and to build each other up. In other words, what we do and say should have an overall positive effect on the people around us. You know, I can think of a number of people in my life who have encouraged me. First of all, my parents. They encouraged me to follow the Lord and to follow His call wherever that may lead. My church leaders encouraged me as a younger man. They gave me opportunities to develop my gifting. My employers encouraged me to learn new skills and procedures. And then some older brothers in the Lord have encouraged me through their faithful prayers and their words of counsel. And I assume that you most likely have people like that in your life too. I pray that you do. Because we all need encouragement, and we all should be giving encouragement as well. There's a man who appears briefly in the New Testament who was a model encourager. In almost every situation where he's mentioned, there's a need for some kind of encouragement, and he's the one who steps forward to offer that encouragement. Do you have any idea who that man is? The title for today's message is Be a Barnabas. And our opening scripture is Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. So listen carefully as I read that text, Acts chapter 4 and verses 32 to 37. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, as we look at the life of Barnabas, we'll learn how to use the various gifts that God has given us to become better and more faithful encouragers of those around us. Interestingly, Barnabas' name means consolation. Consolation is the act of consoling someone. It's the act of comforting or encouraging someone, of helping to alleviate grief. So let's look together at the ways Barnabas models for us this role of being an encourager. The first example I see in Barnabas' life is his possessions. The verses we read are in the context of the newly birthed church, perhaps just a few days or a few weeks after Pentecost. And so here you have a new organism, the church, coming out of Judaism, and it's cut off from the support network of their former faith. Because remember, the Jewish leaders had stated that anyone who embraced Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So you have a group of like-minded people who see the need to care for one another. And their way of addressing the situation was to live communally. The text tells us that everyone in this group had their needs met because of the voluntary sharing of their possessions. Barnabas was a Levite, but obviously he was a different kind of Levite than the one in the account that we call the Good Samaritan. Barnabas was from Cyprus, and Cyprus was a country that was noted at that time for its self-indulgent luxury and its sensuality. Cyrus had real estate, and that was a significant form of wealth in that day. And yet, of his own free will, he sold that real estate and brought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet. What does this experience in the life of Barnabas teach us about encouragement? Well, one thing I see is if you're proud, you'll find it difficult to encourage. Because pride says, I'm the best. Humility says, I want to help you become the best. Pride can be expressed in a lot of different ways, but in many cases, pride and possessions go together like a hand in a glove. Barnabas was willing to become like the poorest person who was a part of the early church. His example demonstrates to me that he had a freedom from the love of things, and he had a heart of love for the poor. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, I don't have much by way of possessions. I want to assure you, it's not the amount that's important. It's the attitude you have toward what you possess, or actually what you have stewardship over. And in my observation, this is a common challenge for us, and for some of us, more than others. It reminds me of one of our ministry partners here at Heralds of Hope. He's a pastor from Nepal, and some of you listening have had the privilege of meeting him. But our first contact with Nepal was through his father, who was also a pastor before him. He became acquainted with Heralds of Hope back in the 1980s. By the time we first visited Nepal in 2006, Pastor Stephen, the father, had passed on to his eternal reward. But while we were there, we met with his family, his children, and they told us that he had such a generous spirit that he would literally give away things the family needed to other people whose needs were even greater. To me, that kind of behavior demonstrates a freedom from the love of things. So if you and I want to become encouragers, as the scriptures command us to, then we'll need to develop the spirit of generosity, and we'll need to learn how to use the resources God has given us to facilitate the encouragement of other people. The second example, then, in Barnabas' life is his position, or we might say his influence. And here, I'm turning to Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 30 for this example of encouragement. Listen as I read. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. So here's the recently converted Saul of Tarsus, and he's attempting to fellowship with the church in Jerusalem. But understandably, Saul was a bit of a pariah, an outcast. Everybody's afraid of him because of his prior mistreatment of the believers. I mean, who can blame them? In our day, this happens with Muslim background believers. Or let's just say a former pedophile or child abuser were converted and started attending your church. How would you respond to that? What if it were someone who had been ostracized from a former church group? What if it was someone you knew, or perhaps even one of your relatives? Would you be willing to use your influence to help the rest of us on the path to acceptance of such a person? In this text, it's Barnabas to the rescue. Barnabas, the encourager. He introduces Saul to the church. His actions proclaimed that he trusted the genuineness of Saul's testimony, Saul's conversion. Now, we don't have a record of all that transpired between these two men, but I'm sure that Barnabas' support for Saul was a result of observation and evaluation. He was convinced that Saul's conversion was authentic, and Barnabas was willing to use his influence, influence that he had gained by his prior example of generosity and faithfulness. And so I ask, are you and I willing to do that? Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 to 26, and I will read those verses. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Here in this text, we have Hellenists at Antioch coming to faith in Christ. Who were the Hellenists? Well, these were Jews who had lived in other parts of the world and had adopted the Greek language and culture. Hebraic Jews were those who had remained in the land of Israel, spoke Hebrew, and regularly worshipped at the temple. The Hebraic Jews took pride in the fact that they had always lived in the land of their fathers. Unfortunately, the pride of those Hebraic Jews caused the Hellenist Jews to feel like outsiders. So Barnabas, one of the most mature and reliable and lovable leaders of the early church, is sent to verify the reports of this great number of Greek-speaking Jews who were coming to faith in Christ. So notice what happened. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, And what did he do? He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Barnabas observed the grace of God in the lives of these converts. Now, were they mature believers? Did their practices all align with the prevailing Jewish culture? Probably not. But Barnabas saw that they had embraced Christ, and because of that, he was willing to accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ and to treat them as such. In fact, notice the next verses. Barnabas was so motivated to encourage these new believers that he leaves Antioch and goes to Tarsus to find Saul, or now Paul. The distance between these two cities is about 243 kilometers, or 150 miles. That's a long way to walk. But Barnabas located Saul and brought him back to Antioch to teach these new converts. And the text says Paul and Barnabas stayed there for a whole year, encouraging and teaching these new believers. Let me ask you, are you willing to use your influence to encourage others? Now again, you might say, well, I don't have much influence. I think you might have more influence than you realize. You don't have to be a pastor or a church leader to have influence. If you're an older sibling, you have influence. If you're a parent or a teacher, you have influence. If you're an employer or even an employee, you have influence. Because you see, most people have a circle of influence that includes family and friends and more. So I challenge you, ask God how you can use your influence to be an encourager like Barnabas. The final example then is Barnabas' persistence. But that final example will have to wait until our next time together, because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast, and we're not yet finished looking at the life of Barnabas. He is such a good model for us, as he used his spiritual gift to encourage so many. So Lord willing, we'll be back next week to finish our study, Be a Barnabas. Thank you, choir. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching on an audio CD or a printed manuscript, just write and ask for the teaching, Be a Barnabas. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your comments to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the Contact Us button that's right on our homepage. And there's also a place there for you to submit a prayer request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging listener testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866 0292. Or you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the website, including the teaching you heard today. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, Be a Barnabas. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope as we continue our study in the life of Barnabas. And until we meet again, be encouraged by the A Cappella Harmony Quartet.
Moonbeam shining, keep reminding of a trip that I'll be taking soon. There is nothing binding. I am pining for the journey that will take me over the moon.
I'm sailing soon
above the moon.
Soon be floating away.